Hello and welcome to Watson Premier League, 15th match day, and of course we have Tom Rennie with us. Long time no see, Tom. How are you?
I've missed you. How have you been? How's the family? How's the kids?
All good. The kids, I'm not sure. I haven't seen them.
Oh, not your yet. Kids, just the kids that you know.
Okay. Everything is going well. Yeah, we have football every single day now, so time to enjoy and probably, hopefully, making some money, because you were right in most of your predictions in the past match day. So let's go with the new one, guys. Also, leave a comment, ask anything to Tom, and don't forget, if you enjoy our videos, press the like button, subscribe, and click on the bell to get notifications. Now, let's go on with the show. Yes, Tom, you were really good in the last one. They are remembering you, the Newcastle Norwich draw, also West Ham dropping points against Brighton, also Liverpool going Asian handicap against Everton. Brilliant, brilliant.
Good day.
Let's keep it up and let's start with West Ham actually playing against Chelsea. We have Chelsea to win around 1.8. They struggle against Watford, but they did the job. They are still topping the table. And West Ham, as you predicted, be careful with Brighton. They are always a pain in the ass for the Hammers. No victories in the last three, but West Ham are so dangerous that their last victory was against Liverpool, remember?
Yeah. I just didn't fancy West Ham against Brighton because they haven't beaten them since 2012. They've never beaten them as a Premier League team. For Chelsea, in terms of West Ham, they beat them quite regularly. They beat them at Stamford Bridge under Memo Pellegrini a couple of years ago. They beat them at London Stadium under David Moyes in the year they've stayed up. They've got a good record of good performances against Chelsea. And as you alluded to, their last win was against Liverpool. In games like this against the big teams who might win the league, West Ham tend to put on a good performance. They were good against Manchester City. Maybe could have got something in that game in the end. But I think West Ham have hit their first real bump of form in the season. They were always going to hit one. They're always going to hit one or two. They don't have the depth of the squad to be able to perform for 38 straight weeks. But I think that there will be a turn coming soon, maybe more likely against Burnley after this. But I think West Ham are going to need to go pretty much the same thing they played against Brighton. You know, when they've done the midweek weekend thing, they've been able to make a lot of changes. In this one, they're not going to be able to. Antonio looks gassed. Benrahma stops assisting. Jared Bowen is missing so many chances. You know, so the offense isn't working. The defense is still reasonably strong. It took a wonder goal from Neil Mopay to get Brighton back in the game on Wednesday evening. So West Ham still a good team, still a very strong midfield. I expect Memo Lanzini to come in. He's had some really good cameo appearances recently, potentially for Benrahma. Apart from that, West Ham can't make a great deal of changes. Hopefully for them, Aaron Cresswell will be fit. He missed the game in midweek. For Chelsea, I think the losses of Reece James and Ben Chilwell are massive for Chelsea. Absolutely massive. When they hit their great run of form pre-Manchester United, it was all almost built on those two players, scoring goals, creating goals, running the team in many ways. There's been no better player over the last 6 weeks in the league than Reece James. And he's a massive doubt for this one, as is Conte, one or two others. Chalobah's going to be missing. And Lukaku, a couple of sub appearances. Is he fit enough to start? We shall see. He has a brilliant record of scoring goals against West Ham. I think he may have scored more goals against West Ham than any other team, but certainly his record is absolutely fantastic against the Hammers for everyone he's played for. But I think West Ham raised their game here. I think West Ham are more than capable of doing more than they are. And I think Chelsea, they laboured and struggled against Manchester United. They laboured and struggled against Watford. And I think they'll do the same here. West Ham right up for this one and will be hoping to put their recent poor form behind them. Chelsea will need to be at their absolute best to win. I don't think there will be. This game will finish as a draw, and I'd look at both teams scoring as well.
Okay, Saul also not looking great for Chelsea. What a disgrace signing for the Blues. Yeah.
What's happened to him? What's happened? I thought he was. I mean, I know he was a bit average last year, but I mean, the two times I've seen him, he looks like he's never seen a football before. Bizarre.
Yeah, it was terrible. He won. I read also that Chelsea won him back to Atletico de Madrid, and Atletico are saying, no, this is for you already. This is our present. Then next game, we have Newcastle, Burnley. I'm not sure if it was positive or not the point for Newcastle. They were playing with 10 men, so probably at least a point, but the good news for them is that they've been terrible, but still only 6 points from salvation. That's not too bad. And this is another must win at one point. I guess they have to win a football game this season. But Burnley, they are not bad, actually, in the last games. 5 undefeated games, getting points here and there. Won't be easy for Newcastle.
It's pretty incredible, actually, that after 14 games and no wins, Newcastle are not adrift. They are still very much within touching distance of Watford, of Leeds, Southampton. I mean, Newcastle, realistically, could still finish in mid-table in the Premier League this season. You know, when teams have not won in this many, like Sheffield United last year, they've normally got 1 point. They lose, they lose, they lose, they lose. But Newcastle are getting results. They've drawn 3 of their last 5. I think they'll see it as drop points, the Norwich game. You know, in context of the match with Kieran Clarke's idiotic sending off, they would be happy to have got something at that point. But leading with this, 10 minutes to go against Norwich, they should have won it. Very frustrating. But still, the story for Newcastle remains the same. Offensively, I think they look bright. So Maximan, Wilson, even Joe Linton, they look like they can be a threat defensively. I mean, the good news for them is Kieran Clarke suspended, right? Because, I mean, he's a woeful defender and shouldn't be playing in the Premier League. He's a League One level defender. He's had multiple goes at this league, and it's not going to work out for poor Kieran. And I think you can say a similar thing to a slightly higher standard in Jamal Lascelles, you know, really good championship player, not 5 years of captain of Newcastle in the Premier League. So that's where they need to invest in January. Can't do that before the Burnley game. Burnley are doing what they do, right? They do it every year. They've drawn 4 of their last 5. They are incredibly, incredibly tough to beat. As Wolves found out, as Palace found out, as Chelsea found out, as Southampton found out, you don't beat Burnley without outworking Burnley. And outworking Burnley is a very, very tough thing to do. The trouble is, Burnley don't have a great deal of quality that gets you over the line in Premier League football matches. I keep highlighting Maxwell Cornet. If he doesn't score, Burnley tend to not score. If he doesn't create, Burnley don't score. And I think it's going to be a similar story here. I just can't see Burnley doing enough to beat Newcastle, but I can't see Newcastle doing enough to beat Burnley. Here we go. I'm on a roll. Another draw, and both teams score.
I see a lot of draws, actually, in this match day. Sam is telling us this has to be a Newcastle win, but this is the story of the whole season, and it's never a Newcastle victory. Ankur is telling us both teams to lose. Can we bet on that? Can be. That's not a bad one. We had another one in La Liga, actually, about both teams to lose. Then this is for you, a draw. Probably the next one could be a draw in St. Mary's. Southampton and Brighton, because none of them are also in great form. Southampton, though, at home, they are not bad. No defeats in the last 4. They drew against Leicester in midweek. And Brighton, as you expected, they got a point in the very last minute against West Ham. Winless in the last 9 for Brighton. 7 of them draws. Another one.
Well, you know what I'm going to say, don't you? You know what I'm going to say. I mean, you've already seen my system for these games. When the Christmas period happens, there are such a large amount of draws because of fatigue, lack of rotation, not enough time to prepare. There's loads of reasons why it happens. But you do get quite a lot of poor quality games, high on excitement, but low on quality. And that's kind of what this Christmas period in England's all about. For Southampton, going forward, they have players who have shown they will score goals in the Premier League. Che Adams, Adam Armstrong, Armando Broja, and they've got quality players in midfield, the likes of James Ward-Prowse. So there's good things there. There's no depth to that squad, and there's certainly no consistency in performance. For Brighton, do you know what? They're just not brave enough. I've started to realise this about Brighton. When they scored the equaliser against West Ham on Wednesday, they backed off. West Ham were rattled. West Ham were like, oh, we've blown it away. We've thrown it away. And Brighton decided, actually, we'll hold on for a point. And it's a similar story in the Leeds game I did recently. They just didn't press on for the winner. They didn't dare to do. And that's what's costing them at the moment. And that, it, to be fair, it's not an unwise thing. They're 7th in the league with 19 points as we approach the halfway point. So, you know, that ain't half bad for Brighton. But a bit more bravery and they may win more games. But I think they'll be the same here. I think that they will defend well. They may well nick a goal. They certainly won't concede more than one. There's two score lines I can see here. One of them is 0-0. The other is 1-1. I would go draw all the way for Brighton for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. Also, I would go for draw. Felix is going for Brighton. Draw, no bet. When two teams are pretty much similar, if we have higher odds for one, it's not a bad idea as well. If there is a draw, which is what we expect, we get our money back. Then three games, three draws, probably the next one not. But you will tell me, Wolves, Liverpool, actually it's kind of likely when we see Wolverhampton lately. Another draw against Burnley. They struggle a lot to score goals. Three goals only in the last five games, 12 in the whole season. But against Liverpool, they have to score some goals, I guess, if they want to get points, because they are free flow. And what to say about Mo Salah as well?
Well, yeah, I mean, let's start briefly on Wolverhampton Wanderers. I think that they are missing someone who can pick up the slack when Raul Jimenez is not scoring. I think Hwang Hee-chan has been good in terms of his football playing, but hasn't scored enough goals. He hasn't done enough of the load carrying. Pedence comes in, gets injured, comes in. You know, it's been the story of Pedence all season, really. And Trincao has been in and out. He impressed me against Everton a few weeks ago, then sort of went off the radar again. For Liverpool, I was doing the Merseyside derby last night, and I mean, they were just so good. They were just so good in that opening 10 minutes. I'm not one for the XG, but they had the highest XG over the opening 10 minutes of a match since records began against Everton on Wednesday, because they had about seven chances, of which one went in from Jordan Henderson. They scored four. They've scored at least two in every single away match this season, Liverpool, and they'll do so again here. Jota and Salah both in incredible, incredible form. Salah was so quiet across the 90 minutes. He barely touched the ball. He barely had an impact, apart from those two incredible goals, which pretty much won the game. So I think that Wolverhampton Wanderers will not score. I can't see any way they break down Liverpool. I think it'll be quite a good end-to-end feisty sort of game for 20 minutes until Liverpool decide to go up through the gears, which they will. I'd be going for at least 3-0 here to Liverpool. Absolutely back scoring two as they do in every single away game. Asian handicap definitely open for this one. Maybe even -3 for this one. I think they're really going to crush Wolves as they're crushing everybody away from home right now, Liverpool. Double that up with Jota and Salah to score. There's good money to be made here. And also, you know, I know our friend Alvaro loves the corners market. Look at the corners market. They got about 9 against Everton yesterday. They take so many corners, Liverpool. They want corners. And so look at that for at least 7 corners for Liverpool in this game as well. Make all that happen. There's money to be made on Liverpool right now.
Also, Innocent is going for total goals over 1.5 for Liverpool, as you said, stake high, so you can go even more goals. So a lot of goals. You also think, as Samba says, that this Wolves is overrated?
No, I wouldn't say they're overrated. I think they're about right. I think that we do think there's talented players there, and I think we do think that there is a goal scorer in Raul Jimenez who, for obvious reasons, hasn't quite hit his best form as yet. There's good elements there, but it's a manager who hasn't quite got his team yet. He's still relying on Neves and Moutinho in the centre of midfield. Neves suspended for the game midweek, should come back in for this one. But there's elements of Nuno's team that are still, I think, holding what Bruno Lage wants to do back. So I wouldn't say overrated. I think they're getting their just respect for their performances this season.
Mm-hmm. And the three title contenders are playing away in this match day. And if Chelsea drop points, as you expect against West Ham, then Man City can become the top of the table. They have to beat Watford. Man City also got the victory against Aston Villa 1-2. You expect trouble also for Man City, because they are also showing strength in this point of the season.
Yeah, I mean, on Watford briefly, I've been really impressed by them the last few games. I mean, look, they've got one win in their last five. They've lost the last two, but they were really impressive against Chelsea. The way they battled for the points, the way they were controlling the game at the point there was the medical emergency, which caused the game to stop. You know, what would have happened if the game didn't stop at that point? You know, we'll never know. But they had a real couple of heads of steam up against Chelsea. So offensively looking quite strong, actually. Really impressed by Emmanuel Dennis, who's going to have to do some heavy lifting for Watford with Ismaila Sarr here out until the new year, and no other forward really looking like they can find the back of the net for Watford, but his goal against Chelsea was fantastic. The loss of Nicolas Nkoulou as well, the centre-half, is a massive blow. Travis de Kong had an okay game against Chelsea, but certainly isn't the required quality you need to stay in the Premier League. For Man City, you know, it's funny, the injury list is actually pretty massive. Ferran Torres out for the majority of this season. Kevin De Bruyne has barely played. Nocta Gundogan, Kyle Walker, John Stones. Laporte was missing, suspended. You know, there's a lot of players missing, but the squad is so rich in quality that they didn't even need to play Jack Grealish from the start against Aston Villa. Didn't need to play Phil Foden from the start against Aston Villa. You know, it is an embarrassment of riches. That's what you get when you're backed by sovereign wealth. You know, don't talk to us, Pep, about your bare bones. You don't have bare bones. What you've got is a whole other outfit on underneath. You're like the episode of Friends where Joey wears all the clothes. That's what Manchester City are, right? So don't talk to us about bare bones. We don't even see the skin. To this game, I think it will be reasonably tight for a while because Watford will compete. But Man City could snatch the game away from you at any point. They will do that again here. I'd be looking at Asian handicap here. I'd be looking at least minus two. And I would suggest that Man City will win this by three, maybe even four. And I think they might put a little bit of sauce on this one as well.
Okay, I just imagine Guardiola also doing lunches as Joey did.
That's the equivalent of bringing Jack Grealish on in the 70th minute. That's a lunch.
Okay. Oh my God, friends, what a series. Then Man City, but you know, Guardiola always have to complain about anything.
Don't we all?
It's this kind of people that they always complain about everything. Then on Sunday, we have Leeds Brentford. Maybe here we see another draw because I'm very actually impressed or surprised by the odds of Leeds. 2.11 is like Brentford. So far, they've been better this season. And to win this game, the odds are double for them, Leeds. Although they got a great victory against Crystal Palace in the very last minute. That's a massive victory for giving some peace to Bielsa's men. What do you expect here?
Tough one. Real tough one. I mean, if you're looking for a clash of styles in the Premier League this weekend, this is it. Leeds United do the Bielsa thing and Brentford basically are Stoke. And so it's a real clash of styles. Leeds will look to out-muscle and out-fight, but do it by playing quick, fast football. Brentford will look to outfight by throwing the ball up in the air, by getting physical, getting in your face, bouncing around the penalty area and hoping something breaks their way. For Leeds, four really impressive points in the last two games, considering they didn't play well against Brighton, didn't play well against Palace. Those are the points you need if you are to avoid being sucked into a relegation battle. And at the moment, as with all season, they're short of several players. And some of those players like Rafinha have come back, but doesn't look fit enough. Rodrigo doesn't look good enough. Bamford's still missing. They were expecting him back soon-ish. Luke Ayling being missing is actually a massive loss for the way they play. It's moved the whole defence around. They're three or four players short leads. You know, if they want to have a good season, they can still have a good season. I think they're going to invest in January in three or four positions, most notably backup for the striker, but, you know, rinse and repeat for about nine teams. As for Brentford, the injury list clearing up a little bit. Still, the David Raya loss is massive in goal. Not a big fan of Alvaro Fernandez at all in goal. I think he needs to be replaced by a senior goalkeeper immediately when the January transfer window opens, and one or two injuries in there as well. But, you know, I think they were brilliant defensively against Everton. Look, Everton are a poor team, right? But I watched that game, and from the moment they scored, they never looked like they were going to lose that game. And I think this game has a real feel of if Brentford score, that'll be it. If Brentford are able to score, I think they will beat Leeds United. And I'd certainly be looking at the 1-0 Brentford market. Brentford win without conceding. But there's two here. I'd take double chance, draw on Brentford. I wouldn't back Leeds here. I just don't think Leeds are the kind of team that are going to be able to do a Leeds on Brentford, because Brentford are so disciplined and so stoic and so defensive, there won't be gaps for Leeds to exploit. Leeds like to follow the players around and exploit the gaps that are left in player rotation. But they won't get that against Brentford. So I'd be looking low scoring, draw and or Brentford win. I'd avoid Leeds here.
Massive odds for X2, actually, for double chance, 1.91, or for under 2.5 goals, as we are seeing, around 2. Then next game, we have Man United, Crystal Palace. already Crystal Palace know what is winning in Manchester, but now they are in a rough patch, three winless games for Vieira's men and Man United. Still, we have to see the new manager, Ravnik, what he can do with Man United. What should we expect here? Odds are very low. Man United, 1.6 to trust Man United at home. Low.
Well, it's 7-1, and it was about 6 this morning when I checked, so it's already gone up. I'd be looking at Crystal Palace here. I'd be looking at Crystal Palace to win here. I mean, that seems high to me. That seems like a really interesting bet to me. And I'm going to be taking that as soon as we finish this video because, look, we don't know how Man United have got on against Arsenal as we record this, right? But I'm not expecting any great improvement from the Chelsea game at the weekend, which I was at, where they went all out defensive Burnley style to try and get a point. And more power to them, they got the job done. Ralph Rangnick will not have been in for a great deal of time by the time this game comes in. Still issues about his visa, work permit, what have you. And so he's not able to take control of the team. Certainly not by Thursday. So what's he going to do with this squad if he gets in properly by Friday before a game on the Sunday? Like, not a great deal, right? Certainly not going to be able to make them some sort of all-pressing, gegenpressing Rangnick team by that point. So I think that there's not a great deal of change that he can make. And Palace have shown themselves. Look, I am about to jump off the Palace wagon. I'm not far off jumping off the wagon because they've impressed me when I've seen them this season. But in the recent games where I've not been able to watch the entirety of the match and watch the highlights and read the reports, they've been worse than they were in the previous matches. Didn't play well by all accounts against Leeds. Didn't play well against Aston Villa. And didn't play well before that against Burnley as well. Certainly defensively didn't. But I still think they've got quality players. I still think they're more than capable of hitting teams on the break. You know, if you're Man United and you've got Wilfried Zaha and Aberry Eze and Elise and Benteke running at you on the break, I think you've got trouble. I mean, there could be trouble here. So my head says Man United will win. But those odds tell me Palace are worth a tickle. They are worth a little just Palace to win. I might be spreading my bets here on Palace win, back that, put a bit of money on that, but also you could double chance it with draw as well.
Okay, there's then low stake on Palace to win. Actually, everyone likes here the odds for Palace. There is a lot of value there, and you are jumping off the wagon of Crystal Palace and maybe of Norwich to lose every single game, because you told me in the last video that you are 2 results away from changing your strategy. Now probably 1 game away of changing your strategy. Now they are playing against Tottenham. Still, actually, this is match day 15th, but Tottenham only played 12 games so far in the standings. So if they win all the games that they have in hand, they will be challenging the European spots. They are not that far, and Conte has a massive chance, actually, with this easy calendar to get points and points, get confidence, and fight for the Champions League spots. I guess, they cannot miss out this one.
Yeah, I mean, my analysis of Spurs, the same as it was last week before the game was cancelled, that they're still searching for an identity. I think the Romero loss is massive. I think he's their best and maybe only proper central defender. So to lose him and have to play Davinson Sanchez and Eric Dier is a massive problem for them. Not too sure there's a great deal of creativity in Harry Winks and Pierre-Emile Højbjerg in central midfield. But Ndombele is not a Conte player, so he's not going to ever play for Antonio Conte unless he bucks his ideas up. So it's all about get it to Kane, get Kane in the area and hope Moura and Son can provide and not have Kane trying to provide for Moura and Son. Very interested to see what Tottenham are like now they've had maybe 10 days of Conte training since their last match. For Norwich, not yet. Look, Dean Smith is a better manager in the Premier League than Daniel Farke. Farke had run his race at Norwich, and Dean Smith has come in obviously a week or so after getting sacked at Villa. He's already in full flow. He's implemented his ideas quickly, and there's been some really impressive performances. And frankly, there was a late chance for Norwich against Newcastle. They should have scored and should have won. They'll see that as massive drop points, missed opportunity, the draw against 10-man Newcastle on Tuesday. But even though I like Billy Gilmore playing, even though I like the fact the better players are back in the team, and even though Norwich have improved, I don't think they're going to improve enough to beat Tottenham Hotspur. I'd be looking here for at least 2 goals for Tottenham. And I don't expect Norwich to score. So Tottenham to win without conceding. start at two and see if you fancy three.
Mm-hmm. Felix is telling us Norwich are terrible at finishing at front. Of course, you have Pukki as a striker. What can you expect? I saw even the chairman, Norwich chairman, falling asleep.
Oh, we don't criticize Saint Delia round here. She has saved so many Christmas dinners in this country. She can sleep with who she wants, where she wants. She's a saint.
Okay. Sorry about that. I just have the idea of reading The Sun, an interesting tabloid, every now and then on my Twitter feed. Then probably another draw here. Villa Park, Aston Villa, Leicester still getting draws and draws. Well, they drew against Southampton, especially conceding and scoring a lot. So maybe we see a high scoring game here. We saw also the first defeat of Steven Gerrard as manager of Aston Villa.
Yeah, good performance though, I thought, against Manchester City. He certainly brought energy to Aston Villa that maybe was lacking in the latter days of Dean Smith. You know, sometimes a change is as good as a rest, and maybe that's the situation with Aston Villa. I don't see what he's really brought to him tactically as yet, but we may be getting to that point by the end of Christmas. We'll kind of know what a Steven Gerrard Aston Villa team is, but certainly the hallmarks of it are work incredibly, incredibly hard, which the players, you know, sometimes don't do for whatever reason. Maybe they want the manager out. Maybe they've just lost faith in him. Maybe they're just not as confident as they once were, you know, loads of reasons, whatever, but they weren't doing it for Dean Smith. They are doing it for Steven Gerrard. So more power to Aston Villa, and also Ollie Watkins scoring again. You know, the issue Dean Smith had start of the season was how to get Ings and Watkins together. The answer is you don't. You pick one. Ings was a good signing in terms of his quality, but a bad signing in terms of they didn't need him. They had Watkins, and playing him together has not worked. Ings being injured, Watkins being fit, you can see the results and the fruit of that. For Leicester, you know, so hard to assess them this season. So hard, because one minute you watch them and think, oh, Maddison, Barnes, Vardy, entertainment, thrills. And then you look at them defensively and you're like, what are they doing? Like, what's happening here? Marking who? Like, there's a few elements of that at the moment going on for Leicester City. So they're a bit inexplicable and a bit tough to bet on, a bit tough to back and a bit tough to rely upon. So if I was going to pick any team here, it'd be Aston Villa. It is a big Midlands derby. It is at Villa Park. And I'd also be looking here at maybe late goals. Late goals. So I would say low scoring, Villa or the draw. Don't go with Leicester. And if you can back goalless at halftime, Villa have won at full time, or goalless by the 80th minute and Villa go on to win it, that's what I'd be looking at here, because Villa have left it late under Steven Gerrard, and derbies tend to go that way. And I think as the game goes on, the home team will get stronger and Leicester will do what they've done quite a lot this season, and that start to fade.
Gucci and Felix also are going for Villa to win, but most of them also for high scoring game, actually, seeing that Leicester, they concede and score a lot, especially in the last match days. And we have another game on Monday evening, Everton-Arsenal. Everton, they are... They are terrible. They are just terrible right now. Six defeats in the last seven games. Arsenal, they are ready to jump into the Champions League spots, getting good results lately. You expect them also to beat Everton, as everyone is doing right now?
Yes, I do. Yes, I think Everton are so poor right now. And it's all well and good for people to say, oh, Rafa out. Rafa was never going to work. And, you know, I'm one of those people as well that thinks it was never really going to work unless he hit the ground running, which he certainly has not. But the squad makes no sense. I mean, they brought on Cenk Tosun the other night against Liverpool. I mean, I thought he'd retired. You know, Fabian Delph is still somehow playing Premier League football. He came on for them. They've got this guy, Jean-Philippe Gabamin, who's never played for them. He's always been injured. You've got Michael Keane, who I don't know what happened to Michael Keane, but he was a £30 million player once. Seamus Coleman is still somehow playing in the Premier League. You know, he's older than time. You know, there's so many issues and they've spent so much money on some nonsense players. I mean, Marcel Brands, who does the signings there, should hang his head in shame. Never mind Rafa Benitez. Whoever's been in charge of transfers for 5 years needs to look for another profession, because they ain't very good at it. For Arsenal, similar tags could have been thrown at them in recent times, but they've been a lot more sensible under Mikel Arteta. He's a lot more of a sensible manager. And I think he has quashed expectation with a lot of Arsenal fans, and that's led to good things. They're happy now in fifth position, potentially moving to fourth once they played Manchester United. Certainly this weekend, they could do it as well. But he's found a way to keep everyone, if not happy, then less disgruntled. You know, Aubameyang's not wildly unhappy. Lacazette's not wildly unhappy. They're all sort of accepting of their lot in this life at this point. I think that's led to some good performances and some good results. I think we get another one here. Don't see Everton being able to score a goal against Arsenal. This is not to say Arsenal's defence is amazing, but Everton's offence is very weak. Still no Calvert-Lewin, which is such a huge, huge blow for them. You know, who knows when he'll be back? I thought he'd be back by now. And Arsenal can score. So I'd be looking Arsenal win by at least one. I would say 1.5 goals in favour of Arsenal and big trouble for Everton.
Big trouble, Everton, of course, they are the underdog for this game. Arsenal, they are favourites and they are ready to jump into the top four. Who would say that actually in August or in September when they were the worst team? They had 0 points in the first match days, but Arteta turned the situation around. Then, Tom, let's see your AKA for this new match day.
So three teams for this one. Liverpool to beat Wolverhampton Wanderers. Man City will beat Watford. I've gone for a lot of draws this week, but the one I feel most confident about is Southampton against Brighton. So a three-team AKA, two wins and one draw.
All right. We will put also in the description your AKA, Tom. Thank you. We have a lot of draws, so it's always very high odds if we play those odds and Liverpool to smash Wolves for sure. Then Tom, thank you. We will talk about if Crystal Palace also beat Man United would be also good money. See you next week. Thanks everyone, of course, for following with us the Premier League, and don't forget to click on the like and subscribe. Tom, see you soon.
See you next week.